What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Tuesday, the 13th of October. Hope you're well and you're having a great day wherever you are on this planet, whether you're on a round planet, a flat planet, whether you're on another planet. Maybe you're sitting in your spaceship in between planets on your holidays. Or maybe you're just like, starting to feel like you're on another planet. Or you're in another world, because we're all just confused as fuck with all the shit that's going down, with all the different rules and regulations and confusing. We've got a traffic light system now. That one is gonna fucking trip everybody out. Some cities are gonna be in red, on the red. Some cities are gonna be on the amber. Some cities are gonna be on the green. Pubs in the red areas, which is the most infected areas, pubs can stay open if they're serving a sizable meal. So, which basically is a loophole. So, if you only sell pork scratchings and pickled onions in that pub, or crisps, then you need to pour the crisps onto a plate with a couple of pickled onions with some pork scratchings, make it look like there's a meal on the plate, and therefore you're now serving a sizable meal, which means you've got around the loophole that you can stay open and serve your customers and food, because anybody without food has got to close. So you got to look at the loopholes. You got to get the cockle man round. You know, the fish man. Get the fish man round with his tray of worldly goods, with his fishy food. That classed as a sizable meal. So yeah, you're better off fucking off to another planet for a while, I think, because this is just getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, obviously, the businesses are going to fucking go to the wall and left, right and centre. I've been looking at the Swedish look like they're doing all right, considering they took a totally different path to everybody else. So you got to get a fine line between the two, I think. You need to be cautious, like we are, but also let everybody stay open. Why the fuck can't all the pubs and everywhere stay open as long as everybody's socially distanced? Or, have I said this before? Get everybody who's going to the pub, book a time slot, so they can be in there between 8 and 9, or they can be in the next pub between 9 and 10, or whatever. You've got to book your time spot, so that therefore those people are having to leave that pub and go on to another pub, where previous people have had to leave that pub to come to another pub. So everybody's leaving in an orderly fashion and moving around, but it's all booked on a booking system. I'll tell you what, I think I might have said that one before, but if I haven't, you need to get me on the fucking phone now to number 10. Get me on the phone, or let me send something by the... Go and have a word with the... Go and play the jungle drums outside the Parliament, see if anybody will listen, talk to the... be a bit of a witch doctor outside Parliament, see if I can get them all to change their mind and see what... See what I can do for you. But anyway, yeah, it's happening all around the world, isn't it? I think people are just don't want to be the one to fucking go against the scientists' advice. The scientists are always right, but as I said, it could be done how I'm saying to do it. But nobody wants to be the one to get fucking more egg or shit on their face. Go down in history as the biggest fucking buffoon in modern times. But you can't win either way, because everyone's pissed off. Everyone's going to be pissed off with you one way or the other. Anyway, but then you got this other guy in America. I mean, it's happening in America, it's happening all over, but I did see there were some towns in America that did something totally different to what they were supposed to, and they've done fine. Daytona, was it? What city was it? Anyway, the governor, she was a governor, she came out and said, we did the totally opposite. We let everybody stay open. We did a group, community effort. And we got better numbers than everybody else. So I don't know. Anyway, who am I? I'm just a mere podcaster who talks to aliens. A black man who was led by the rope. I remember this. He was led by a rope through America. This is what I was leading to anyway. By two white officers on horseback. Can you maybe remember that? When the policemen on horses had a black man in handcuffs. And they had him on a rope. And they were leading him through the town, marching him through the town. Now, if that, how the fuck they didn't know that that was going to come out as bad as it has is ridiculous. I mean, that is just like, that's like, it must have been like thinking they were like going like back to their granddaddies, you know. Thought they were, you know, on the horseback as well, pulling him along like a slave. They're just all kinds of wrong. I mean, he's claiming now for £1 million or $1 million in compensation for suffered humiliation. And he better get it. 100% he better fucking get that. I don't know what it's worth. He's been humiliated all around the world because them photos, all around the world, because all them photos have gone everywhere. And whoever fucking took the photos probably made a killing. He's probably made his million by selling the photo. So it's only right that the guy who got marched through the town gets his just desserts. I'll tell you what, you can march me through fucking any town naked with, you know, write all over me what an absolute fucking idiot I am. As long as I know I'm getting £1 million at the end of it. That's different. I'm doing it on the as a business move. He's already had it done to him, forced upon him by policemen in a town where it's fucking racism is like in the history. And it's quite clear that the policemen were treating him like fucking less than human. So, £1 million. I hope he gets it. I hope he gets a book deal. I hope he gets on TV. I hope he becomes an actor. I hope he becomes very rich, very famous. All because that the lady loves a fucking underdog story. And hopefully he fucking comes out of it on top. And the policemen, let's sack the policemen as well while we're there, please. Or at least put him in the stocks and let's throw some cabbages and tomatoes and some fucking rotten fruit and veg at him. Some used condoms, some used dildo, anything that's on the street, we'll throw all that at him. That's what we do to slave traders. You know, like we just did all to all the statues, threw it in the river, painted, spray painted, load of shit all over it. Let's do that to that policeman. Let's treat him like, you know, ridicule him, but with no compensation allowed. Anyway. Moving on. Russians in secret war with extraterrestrials. Russian submarines are fighting a secret war with aliens deep under the oceans, according to startling new claims. But investigator Philip Matt has uncovered former top secret files at the Kremlin. He said the USO phenomena looked set to be USO. Is that because it's an unidentified swimming object? Unidentified shipping object. Did it say what it is? What do you say USA means? Submersive object. Unidentified submersive object. Well, have they been shooting at each other? Are they really having a battle? I mean, could be. I suppose if they come down, they probably want to go and hide somewhere. So the sea would be a good place. I could see it happening. I could see them being down there, having a little mooch about from down there. Maybe they'll have one of those weird periscope things that come up, you know, like an eyeball. Is that on Star Wars, where the eyeball pops out the ground and has a look around? The eyeball on a big long fucking neck, or whatever it is. I don't know what it was. Like an ET looking eyeball. So yeah, there we go. So we've got Russians fighting USOs. I think that sounds like a good film. Anyway, at the very least, let's have a fucking film about that. Another crew watched as a cigar-shaped UFO shot three beams of light down into the Atlantic before descending below the surface. Well, fucking hell, there's some... what's it called? There's some first-hand account, and that's aircraft crew. And they're meant to be, you know, found up a fucking... an eagle or a seagull from a spaceship, from a shooting spaceship. They ain't dumb, are they? I mean... they were out there flying, unless they're pissed, unless they're drunk. Maybe they're not even flying a plane. Maybe they think they are. They just sat on the bank of the river drinking a 2-litre bottle of the strongest, cheapest cider or whiskey that you can get. Not whiskey, because they're going to be tramps. And then they assumed that they were flying. Maybe it's an ex-pilot and he's already been lost his life. And now he's sitting on the side of the bank as a down and out and he saw something in his drunken haze. And now he's cleaned himself up. And now he remembers it. He remembers it clearly from the days when he was flying. Could be. This way, it's as crazy as the story itself. It's as... what's the word? As unbelievable as the story itself. But unbelievable stories come true. They do. You wouldn't believe some of the fucking shit. But there's some of these stories how people die as well. Obviously, some of these things. There's a book on 1,000 ways to die. 1,000 ways not to die. And some of them. There was a guy the other day. I mean, it ain't funny, but a guy was showing his people in his office how strong the windows were in his fucking skyscraper office. And he'd run and jump up the window, you know, like do a splat on the window. And he was showing how strong his reinforced glass. Anyway, he went through, he must have hit a weak point because he went straight through the glass and fell to his death, which clearly isn't funny, but it's stupid. He's a fucking idiot. You know, you don't run and jump at windows, do you? But at the same time, we've all done silly things that have ended up in injury, but these ones have ended in death. So that's a good book to get if you're interested in that sort of thing. 1,000 Ways to Die. Or 1,000 Ways Not to Die, I think it was. Hollywood legend Gregory Peck cut a hole in his hedge so Rod Stewart could pop around to play tennis whenever he liked. said him and Rod used to play on a tiny paddle tennis court at Rod's Los Angeles mansion. Another world, ain't it, living over there? I'm going to live there one day for a little bit. Live up in the Hollywood Hills next door. I'd like to live next door to Jack Nicholson. I'd like to have a hole cut in a hedge next door to him so I could pop round for a drink or a chat. He's one of my heroes, Jack Nicholson. He's probably just fucking, he don't give a fuck, does he? I love the fact that he just doesn't give a shit about what anybody thinks about him. You know, I wonder if he's always at the basketball. You don't see him around there. You only ever see him is at the basketball. He don't go out, does he go out that much? Or does he just stay in his Hollywood mansion? You've got to get out and act. You need to do some more films. Jack Nicholson, there's plenty of films still out there. Don't do a Joe Pesci and disappear for 30 years. One of the best actors there is. And then you disappear for fucking 20 or 30 years and come back and do another film and prove how great you are again. Like Daniel Day-Lewis, he's gone. One of the greatest actors ever. And they just, they don't want to do it, do they? That's the maddest thing about it. The desperados, the ones who are shit, they're like, yeah, give me another film. Give me another film. I'm banging out 7 or 10 films a fucking a month. I'm fucking whacking them out. I was going to say Nicolas Cage then, but he has done some fucking good films very early on, and the odd one, but he bangs them out. He just does any old fucking film. They're chucking them at him. But yeah, just the ones who are the top of the fucking, top bananas, they don't want to do it. Or they put so much effort into it. They just go, oh, you know what, that's enough. That one's burnt me out. When they come and turn into the character for a few months. It's good though, you get to be somebody else. Depends on how bored you are with yourself, doesn't it? We hate sharing grub. We hate sharing food with others. Taking a bite out of someone else's burger has been named the top no-no among diners. Fucking right it is. You get to wear it if you take a bite out of my food when I'm in a dining place. You can't just take it off your plate and have a bite. You can ask, and I'd give one begrudgingly, of course. But no, I'm not a fan of that. Nicking somebody, what's the other ones? Helping yourself to someone else's chips. That's another one. I'll tell you another one. Reading a newspaper over my shoulder. It's not the same, but when I'm reading a newspaper and then you come and stand over my shoulder reading my newspaper from behind me. and they do it like, sometimes they come just to have a look at the headline and then they stay there and they crouch right over you and they're like leaning in, look, fucking reading your newspaper. And if you've got some chips there at the time, then they're nicking your chips and reading your newspaper while they're sitting on your shoulder. Oh, that winds me up, that does. So if you do it, you know who you are. Don't do it again. I've not named you this time on my podcast, but next time I'm going to name you and shame you. That's my personal space and it's my personal chips. I don't want you eating them. I don't want you reading my newspaper. It cost me 20 pence. What else is that? Not ordering a side dish, but tucking into someone else's. There's another one. Let's have a try of it. No, I don't fancy one. Let's have a bit of yours. Eating from somebody's plate when they've popped to the loo. Or eat, the best I've seen people eat the whole of somebody's food when they've popped to the loo. As a joke, of course. And it's turned into a bit of a fucking, it's got a bit tasty, let's say. It's got like, they're nearly kicked off, fisticuffs. It became like a complete and utter, I'm going to get you back. Drinking each other's pints, throwing each other's, you know, doing all sorts to each other. Not borrowing money, not giving it back. The list is endless. It was a begrudge that would never die. All started by eating another man's food. Right, last one I'm going to do, I think. What am I going to do? Which one is it? I've got three. Phil Collins' wife's taking him to court. Phil Collins' wife wants $25 million off him. And she married another guy, the struggling toy boy. She married a struggling toy boy, pub musician, who wed, and he wed Phil Collins' missus in secret. The struggling toy boy, pub musician. I mean, she must have been pissed in the pub, and that's where I get that one from. It must have been not that bad. He's obviously struggling because he's in a pub singing, but he's obviously got a good voice because she's married to Phil Collins. Phil Collins is like, he's not the best looking guy, but he's a good singer, isn't he? I mean, he's not my fucking, I'm not playing Phil Collins for anybody, but at the same time, I can appreciate somebody's talent. He was good once upon a time. And anyway, so a struggling toy boy, did he know about it? I've not even read the story, I can't be bothered. But she wants $25 million anyway to go off with a new struggling toy boy. So he's happy, he won't be struggling anymore, will he? He's not going to be a pub musician if he's still with her, because he's married to her. So he wants half her $25 million. Does it work straight as quick as that? She gets divorced, she's married while she's already married. She gets divorced on the one count. She's married this other guy against his without knowing, and so he's got a lawsuit against her to claim after $25 million for humiliation again. Yeah, I think that one he deserves some money. You know, he deserves to get out of the pubs and get onto better and brighter things, and that's going to help him. So pay the patience game. Don't forget how much it's affected you. You got to play it up. Depression. Anxiety. Right, last one. Police have been mocked for nicking two tiny cannabis plants or bragging about the raid. Cheshire Police, where nothing goes on, I imagine. This morning we seized two cannabis plants from an address after neighbours reported a strong smell of cannabis. The fucking tiddlywinks. The neighbours. Fucking neighbours grassing on you. Neighbours. I mean, there you go. They've even told of their source. So the person whose plants they are, the police have put it out on their internet, social media. The neighbours smelt a dodgy smell. So who's the person who's had his plants nicked is going to go, it's them fuckers next door, innit? Fucking bastards. Grass me up to the police. And that is like the worst. It's cannabis, for fuck's sake. If they can grow it, let them grow it. It's growing. It's horticulture. And if they make money, that'd be good, because people are losing money left, right and fucking centre at the top at the moment. So maybe they're going to smoke it. But they've only got two tiny little plants there. If they were going to sell them, believe me, they wouldn't have enough for a fucking night out. So I thought it was legal to have up to 9 plants anyway. So I think whoever that policeman is needs to go and get his police book thrown at him and told off. You know, when the policeman in the American films, when they go back in and they got that, you've always got that chief of police who gives them loads of shit. He's just screaming at them, giving them loads of shit, fucking slamming the door and going, what the fuck are you doing? This is my ass you're putting on the line and all that kind of shit. That's what he should do to them. Give them a fucking reprimand, take the badge off them, get them sweeping the police fucking locker room for the time being. Anyway, my opinion, I'm going to leave it there. And go and tend to my cannabis plants. I'm joking. I haven't got none, really. I wish I did. Anyway, see you later. I'll do another one tomorrow. Bye.